For those of you who are my age or older, you're going to be familiar with this clip. Dusty's going to like this clip because it has two J's that he loves. One is Jesus and the other is John Wayne.
Men, Jim Bonham has brought news as sad as death. Colonel Fannin has been ambushed. We can expect no help. I stay here with my command. But any of you who wish to may leave with all honor. Failing reinforcements, the Alamo cannot hold. But do not go with heads hung low. No man can criticize your behavior. Here on these ramparts, you have bought a priceless 10 days of time for Houston. You have bled the enemy army. You are brave and noble soldiers. Open the gate! May God bless you.
You know, a line in the sand is what we remember that movie for, that scene. There was a choice to be made. Those men could have stayed. They could have left. He said, with no penalty, no shame of any kind, that they chose to stay. The idea of a line in the sand is now, for us, come to represent a costly and critical decision. And it's one that has to be made, one way or the other. It's a reset, a serious reset. So today I'm going to talk about one event that really is connected to a couple of other events in the life of Israel. And we're going to see how they're similar. And we're also going to see that there was a reset. It was a critical strategic time in the life of Israel when all these things come together. So as we look at Joshua, we look at Moses, we're going to see the line in the sand was made there for Israel to step over the line and choose God. So, let's get there. First, we're going to start in Joshua chapter 24. So, if you have your Bible, open it up. If you don't, it's going to be up here. Joshua 24, starting with verse 14. This is Joshua speaking to the people. He says, "Now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness." That's an important thing to say, with all faithfulness. "Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites or in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." And then the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God Himself who brought us and our parents up out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us in our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites, who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because He is our God." Joshua said to the people, "You're not able to serve the Lord. He's a holy God. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, He will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after He has been good to you." But the people said to Joshua, "No, no, we will serve the Lord." And then Joshua said, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord." "Yes, we are witnesses," they replied. Now then, said Joshua, throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord our God and obey Him. And on that day, Joshua made a covenant for the people. And there at Shechem, he reaffirmed for them the decrees and laws. And Joshua recorded all these things in the book of the law of God. And then he took a large stone and he set it up there under the oak tree near the holy place of the Lord. See, he said to all the people, this stone will be a witness against us. It has heard all the words the Lord has said to us, and it will be a witness against you if you are untrue to your God. Now, this is a line in the sand. Do you remember the story? Do you remember what happened? Joshua finished the job that Moses began because Moses did not get the privilege of leading the people into the land. So, when we begin the book of Joshua, we have Joshua launching out in his leadership. And then there about chapter 6, chapter 7, a funny thing happens on the way to Jericho. There's this huge city, fortified to the point that no one could ever destroy this city. And at that point, when Joshua knows that God is leading him to go take the city, forgive me, a funny thing happens. John, next slide. Joshua's kind of hanging out by himself. And when he was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went up to him and asked, are you for us or for our enemies? And he got a very funny answer. Neither, he replied, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, what message does my Lord have for his servant? And the commander of the Lord's army replied, take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. And Joshua did so. I think it's kind of interesting that this happened in Joshua's life at an important time. Do you know what happened after this? The Lord came and told him how they were going to defeat Jericho without anyone charging the walls before God brought them down, if you remember the story. But there's even something else that comes before this. If you want to look at this, this was a line in the sand too, because Joshua had a choice. He was going to lead people into certain doom if he challenged that city the way he would have challenged the city. But the way he did it was the way God wanted him to do it, and so they victored. They won. They destroyed the city. But even before that, Joshua learned this same lesson from Moses. You may or not remember this. John, in Deuteronomy 30, this is Moses. He knows he's not going into the land. This is his last statement to the people before he goes wherever he went, before he passed away. See, he says, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to Him, and to keep His commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your hearts turn away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing of the Jordan to enter and to possess. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now all that's true. And all that's tough talk, but hear his tender heart now. He says, now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Joshua learned this from Moses. He saw it an example of it, again, from God Himself. And so now Joshua stands before the people. He is the one who's been put in this position by God to be the leader. And once again, the people need to hear the words of reset. Choose this day whom you're going to serve. Choose life. Choose blessing. Choose. Step over the line, all of you who are willing to go on this journey. Now, you and I know that it wasn't an easy journey. It never was and never will be. I have a few things that I want to point out to you before we move to the next slide. First of all, this line in the sand approach was God's idea. He modeled it. Secondly, the next thing that God told Joshua to do was go take Jericho. And then the next thing that Joshua was telling the people to do was to go into the land and possess it. We don't want to forget that because it speaks to us very loudly if we'll pay attention to it. So here are some things that I want to focus on. Now, John, if you'll get me to that application point slide. Some things we see. Number one, the choice is always given within the existence of conflict. When the line in the sand is drawn, just like it was at the Alamo, just like it is for us, there's always conflict going on. There's conflict within us. There's conflict around us. It's social. It's political. It's spiritual. It's always there. There's always somebody coming against. Look at the story. Don't forget. Remember. Two, the line in the sand was intended to be a blessing to Israel. They were about to obtain the promise that God had made to Abraham. That was God's intention for them. That was His purpose for them. He never wanted them to suffer. He never wanted them to experience defeat. And so here is the line in the sand. It was the line in the sand that demanded their all. It meant there was no going back, and it was the intention of blessing them. Three, these people had experienced God's salvation. They were God's chosen people, but they still needed to reset. So Joshua drew the line in the sand. It was still necessary. They knew all the stories. They knew what God had done. They knew He had parted the Red Sea. They knew that He had sent the pillar and the cloud. They knew that He had saved them from Israel from Egypt and all the slavery that they had suffered there. And they knew the stories about the manna in the wilderness. They experienced it, some of them. These are not people that were foreign to God. They knew His power. They knew His presence. And yet, they needed a reset. Four. There was stuff in their lives that needed to be abandoned because it was not God. You know, we talked about that a lot around here. There's the God and the not God. All the stuff that Joshua was calling the people to put away was the not God stuff. It wasn't the God stuff. It wasn't even the good stuff. It was the stuff that everybody knew was not God. God's intention was that Israel would choose real life. I use that word real. I sort of tinkered with the idea of putting the New Testament version of that. Do you know where I'm going with this? What did Jesus say in John 10:10? Who is it that comes to steal and kill and destroy? What is it that Jesus said He came to do? Life, abundant, full, better than you can expect, better than we deserve. That just kind of rung in my mind as I thought of this. So this is what we see going on in the story. But let's look at us for just a couple minutes. John, let's go to the next one. So we, you and me, we're in a spiritual conflict and it rages all around us. All you got to do is turn on the TV, listen to it for about 30 seconds, and it doesn't take long to figure out that there's spiritual bombs bursting everywhere. Sometimes there are literal bombs bursting everywhere. There's crazy stuff happening all over the place. We cannot ignore the fact. Now, look, some of you are going to say, well, there's always been sin in the world. You're right. There has been. Ever since Adam and Eve made the decision, there's been chaos. some point, sometime. But folks, it's not the same as it was when I was 10 years old. It's not. Let me give you just one standard. And it's not just because I'm this overprotective, weird parent. It really isn't. When I was 10 years old, I rode my bike from where I lived to Brookhaven, Georgia. And that was not a drive. It was a bike ride. Okay? That's about 4.5-5 miles from where I grew up, the house where I grew up, to Brookhaven. I didn't even want my kids walking to the middle school to go walk around the track when they were 10. Now, you guys, there's all other kind of stuff you can point your finger to. It's not the same. Now, forgive me. I'm going to step in muddy waters here for some of you maybe. But look, all this stuff about the bathrooms, this is just crazy, folks. This is crazy. Okay? It makes no sense, and there's nobody who has any sense that's involved in this discussion. Period. Now look, what I want to say is this. Somebody who genuinely cares about people needs to understand the complexity of the situation and does not need to polarize the situation by calling names on either side. There are people who passionately think this is okay and people who passionately think it's not. But we need somebody who was willing to stand in the middle and say, okay, let's make sense of the situation instead of calling names and polarizing everything. As an example. Does this make sense? Why we have nobody in government that can do this makes no sense to me. We're in a conflict that's raging all around. And if we think it does not have its roots that go as deep as where we are, where we sit right now, we are fooling ourselves. It's all around us. And the reason why we labor, the reason why we struggle, the reason why we are exhausted some days at the end of the day and at the end of the week is because there's a battle going on. Number two, God has drawn a line and He is drawing a line in our culture. Now listen and be careful with this because I want you to hear the things that I am saying and not the things that I'm not saying. What I am saying, the line that God is drawing is not a line of anger. Now, I'm passionate when I talk, and I get grumpy, and I get angry like everybody else. But God is not calling you and I to be angry. That's not it. It's not a line of bigotry either. It's not a line where we look at people and we classify people or categorize people, and we discount people, and we say that God doesn't care about them or love them. That is not right. It's not even a line of saying that we're losing power. And you guys, you have to understand, this is one of the ways where people are spinning this, is that it's all about the past trying to be held on to. It's not about Christians trying to exert a last-ditch effort to withhold society from becoming what it needs to be. That's not it either. I'm not trying to hold on to anything. I would like for people to address and respect people. I would like for God to be represented amongst His people. So when we talk about what's right and good and true, that we reflect that in the way we do it. And that others see that. That's the character of Jesus coming through. Instead of seeing angry people who are vindictive and revengeful. But there's a line that's being drawn in the culture. And those are things that I think are important to remember. The line that God is drawing is one of faithfulness, holiness, truth, and love in action. That's what we're called to do. So when we step over the line and we are saying we are gods and we understand there's a battle and we understand that there's a point that we have to cross over, when we cross over, we're not crossing over to be aggressive or vengeful. We're crossing over to be holy and right and good and to let God forgive us when we sin and move on and not get bogged down. Because that's what He's established. All right. Do you hear me? All right. There's no straddling the fence. The call to choose life, the line in the sand, is all about choosing God and realizing that here we are at this point when all this stuff's going on and God is calling us to step over the line and choose Him. Because there is blessing there. There is protection there. It's the life that He had for us. It's eternal life now and life that doesn't end. And in order to do that, we have to abandon our idols, our pet sins, and our short memories. We have to choose. Why do you think, you've heard me, if you've been around here at 9:30, it seems like in the Old Testament they really like rocks a lot. And that they use rocks as a way to memorialize things that took place when God showed up. We have to have better memories about the fact that God has answered our prayers. That He has moved, that people have changed, that He has done stuff that we cannot attribute to, we pray for, we know, and that we have to remember those things like, and not let all the conflict and the battle around us destroy our memories. Because it's a whole lot easier to focus on the pain that's immediate than it is to remember the goodness, the strength, the grace of God. Next, John. So God is calling us to cross the line that leads to life. And again, I don't want you to forget the fact that these were people that Joshua was calling to cross the line who had experienced God, had a memory of God, knew God. So this is not something new. These are people who needed a reset. Come, all you are tired and weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Cross the line. Don't ever think it's okay to go back. Because when you choose God, you throw away the idols. And whenever He shows you something else you need to throw away, you go, okay, it's got to go too. You say, okay, help me, God. I don't know how. He will. It's going to take a while, but He will. But you got to step over the line. So I don't know today. This is what I felt like God told me that I'm supposed to share with you. I don't know how He's applying that to you. And the fact is, you know, it's okay with me if God's talking to you and has nothing to do with what I'm saying. That's fine. As long as you're listening to Him, I don't care. But this morning, there's a line. And for us to be who God wants us to be individually, and as a church, and as the people of God in the city of Savannah, there's a line we've got to cross. But whatever that line is for you, I encourage you to let God show you, and I pray that you'll step over. Because it's life. And it's what He's got for you. It's what you were made for. What I was made for. I'm done. Let's pray. Father God, we need You desperately. And Lord, I pray that You would show us and that You would empower us, give us courage to realize that stepping over this line is for us. And at the same time, Lord, it's Your plan and that You have put all this into motion and it's amazing and it's wonderful. Lord, I'm praying today that as You're revealing to us whatever lines we need to be stepping over, that, Lord, we would choose You, that we would throw away our idols, our pet sins, and whatever else. And that, Lord, we would have that long-term memory that reminds us there's a God in heaven who loves us, who has sent His Son to die for us on the cross, who has put loving people around us to show us that there's hands and feet of Jesus even right now. And that, Lord, You want to use us to be those same kind of people. Lord, let us change Savannah and change the world one life at a time. The altar's open this morning. Dusty will be up here. Dane will be up here. The challenge today is if there's a line that you need to cross, if you need to come do that on your knees, if you need to do it in the pew, if you need to talk to Dane, Dusty, or I, that's fine. That's what we're here for. We'll pray with you about that. But it's between you and God. There's a line that goes across that door out there. You know, on the old maps back a long, long time ago, you know what they used to put when they didn't know what was out there beyond the edge? They said, beyond the line, beyond this line, there be dragons. Let's go out there ready to go. Go get them. In Jesus' name.